Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Craig Turner, author of Turner's Take. You can find me on Twitter at Turner's Take. You can also find me on the internet, www.turnerstake.com. And if you're a farmer, producer, hedging the markets, or marketing cash grain or cattle, you can find me at turnerstakeag.com. So I'm going to talk about two things today, wheat and cattle. And maybe go over a couple other, mainly those two, maybe go over just a couple of the other things we've been trading recently. One, let's start off with bad news first, would be cattle. I've been talking up these bear spreads, and while I like the August 1st October, which I'm still in and sitting through it, it's now against us 2 or 3 points, which is never any fun, and we're actually starting to see that. I'm glad I'm not... That one's not in June, and the June is actually really tearing it up here. I'd actually put something out earlier in the week. It was either late last week or early this week about looking into June versus October cattle because of the roll. I mean, we have a massive position right now, long position in June cattle that has to roll out this month. And if you take a look at the open interest and divide it by how many days they have to get the contracts down to a certain level by delivery time, whenever they exit, they're gonna have to exit big time, and that in theory would pressure June versus October. The problem is while I still like that idea, we were in way early, got stopped out almost immediately if we were using stops. If you weren't using a stop. In that, I'm hoping that you just have like a one lot on or something very small in the account where you can take a 2 or 3 point swing. So I mean that I think it was one of those trades where it seemed like I was in out as fast as I was in, which is never any fun. And then for traders I know who kind of stuck with it, they had large accounts or just had a one lot on kind of to start small and see it through. And now we're just kind of sitting on it. So that happens sometimes with trading. That's why you never put on too big of a position, or at least the online traders I work with or the broker assisted traders I work with, you got to account for that. Sometimes just going to get it completely wrong, which obviously happened in that cattle. So, move on, live another day. We are doing well with our hog positions and our wheat. So at least that's making up for the cattle, but I'm not happy about this. Now, what's interesting about cattle is, today at one point, June cattle limit up was about 127, and we were trading 130 synthetically, which means 6 full points up on the day, which was just panic. I don't know if people are just blowing out or just a huge amount of money coming in. It's strange to see so much action in the spread market. For those who don't know what I'm talking about, limits... are just for the individual contracts. You can trade beyond limit synthetically, either through options or through future spreads. It's actually one of the main advantages of trading future spreads. So, if I were stuck, let's say I'm stuck short June cattle, which happened today. Cattle was up, people were short June cattle. They say, what do I do? Well, you can go ahead and buy feeder cattle, which is something that we did. And what's nice about feeders is it has a 4.5 point range, and it's 500 a point instead of 400. So if you hedged yourself with feeders, you actually made out on the day, as live cattle went against you 3, but feeders would have went in your favor 4.5. So I have seen that hedge from cattle traders work, and I do like that. That's a strategy to play while we wait for the cattle market to come back into to basically come back to more of a normal market. But also what I saw today when we were limit up in cattle is people who wanted to get out of that, they were stuck in the limit. June was lock limit up, but October wasn't. So if June's up 3 and October's only up 2, you can still trade in October. So if someone was stuck short the June, what they were doing is they were buying June cattle and selling October in the spread market, which was trading. And then what that would do is the long leg of their June spread would offset the contract they were short in, got out of it, and then just exited the October on the second leg. So it's kind of a two-part trade to get out of it. I even saw some guys get into cattle when we were limit up, and they couldn't get in, and they wanted to be in, and they were using the spread market to actually establish a position. So they were buying June versus Oct. So they were long June, short October, and because the October wasn't limited up yet, then they took off the October leg, legged out of the October, and it actually gave them a June position to get long while we were locked limit up. It was, you know, so crazy things go on when we're limit up or limit down. If you have any questions about how that works or who would want to do such things, give me a call. It is definitely not for the normal trader, but it was definitely going on, and always makes for interesting days. So I wasn't happy about cattle. We blew out of most of our positions, not all of them. Still like August versus October, and if you have a one lot on of June versus October to let it sit there, that's fine, in my opinion. But you know, if you're heavy on that, you should have been. I always say, you know, if you're heavy in a position, you should definitely use stops. Sometimes I'll write about use one if you need one, and that's really about leverage. On the flip side, though, our hog position did great, and so did the wheat. So, you know, I can't complain too much. I mean, the Kansas City versus Chicago wheat really made a good comeback, and you know, we were getting out yesterday and today as I was talking to clients, and we were getting out, you know, anywhere between 7 and 13 cents after getting in from about minus 5, or guys who had trading in and out of it and took some heat, and then we got back out. So I thought that went relatively well. And then we also had the wheat. Oh, I mean, we also had hogs. If you follow the newsletter, we also been bull spreading some of the hogs, and that had a good day too. So that was really nice to see. You know, the June really took some strength, and I've been talking about getting involved in June and throwing shorting some of the deferred months. I know a lot of people just wanted to get long June. When you look at the charts of June, there is a reversal, and you can always go that route. You can always, you know, buy calls or call spreads, sell put spreads. Notice I didn't say sell puts. I don't like selling outright options. Too much, you know, unless you really know what you're doing, or you're doing it in small bits and have a big account. But you know, again, you know, it seems like the hogs seem to rally here. So the hogs went well, wheat went well, cattle did not. So there'll be a time to jump back into those bear cattle spreads, or if you only got a few on and you can just let them sit in the account for a while, you can do that too. But that is really what, you know, that was our day. And the cattle one was by far the biggest thing. So what's going on with cattle? The cash prices for April were like one in the 130s, high 130s. And, you know, June cattle is about 127. Now, the idea is, how big of a discount should June cattle have to April cash? And who knows, maybe 127, 128 is right if the cash is trading around 135 for April, you know, and for delivery for June. There was a deferred sale for June a couple of weeks ago in the 125 area. So we're getting close to where cattle probably should be compared to where cash prices are now and where cash prices are expected to be in June, at the end of the June. So I don't know. I mean, feeders, May feeders in the 150s. May, June cattle trading around 130, you know, in the mid to high 120s. I can see it. If you are trading these markets, I think you need to be nimble. Don't get deer in headlights. If something's going against you, I always say spread it off. Either use a different contract, and like if you're stuck short feeders or you're stuck short fats, you know, find a contract to kind of spread, get on the opposite side of, you know, if it's June cattle, you know, maybe you're looking at what's going on with August cattle, or maybe August feeders, you know, and trying to play one against another just to keep Because when the markets go crazy, no one knows where anything is going. And that's one thing I always like to say, whether we're trading beans or corn or wheat, you know, if you should find yourself on the wrong way of a trade and you just don't want to blow out, another option is always to spread, find something very, very similar to it and spread it and take the opposite way. Catch your breath, let the market catch its breath, and then figure out which way you want to go with the trade. I kind of like it better than a stop. It's actually how a lot of times how I like to trade if I'm managing account or trading my own account or working closely with a broker assisted client and also farmers too. I mean, if anyone who was in San Antonio and saw our presentation at the Commodity Classic, you know, one of the things we talked about is, you know, there are farmers out there, they're either short cattle, like right now they would be, or a couple of years ago whenever farmers were short soybeans and went up, you know, $1 or $2. You know, sometimes, you know, we'll pick a point where if we hit all-time highs or something like that, you know, that's where the buy stop will be for the different contract, you know, maybe one farther out. So for farmers who were short July soybeans, you know, if 10:30 was going to be a new high in November or something like that, maybe that's where your buy stop is, and, you know, you're buying, you know, you're getting basically the same amount of contracts just on the other side of the trader in a different month. So it's a different way to trade, but I got to tell you, when you see, and it's not for everybody, but when you see markets like today in the cattle, it's always, I always kind of remind myself that not everyone's heard of that option and how to do it. It is an effective way to trade, and it also, if you're familiar with the spread market, you can always be getting in and out of limit markets. So, you know, it was definitely a crazy day. We're going to keep on talking about cattle here. And one other thing, in my newsletter, I talked about wheat. You know, we did like that Kansas City versus Chicago wheat. I've been saying for a while, you know, we could be around 20 cents. I think earlier this year I was saying 30 cents Kansas City over Chicago. I don't know if 30 cents is really a possibility now. I think the old highs are around 18 or 20. I think that's more realistic. Last I checked, I think we were around 12. If we dip that, here's the thing with Chicago. Chicago wheat is so short. The funds are so short. If there are real issues with wheat, and I sent it out an email yesterday about the snowstorms. If you get Turner's Take, if you get any of the Turner's Take publications, you would have seen that, and just the chart of wheat. You know, if that should get worse, and it's probably a worse story for Kansas City, but even the Chicago wheat contract, if the wheat situation really should get worse, there's a huge short position out there. And my only concern right now with being long Kansas City and Chicago is if the funds blow out of Chicago, even though Kansas City is the story, the sheer money flow of coming out of that Chicago contract could actually push that spread lower, even though fundamentally it should be the Kansas City that would jump against Chicago. If the funds are short the Chicago contract and need to bail out, they're going to distort that spread a little bit. So if that Kansas City-Chicago should come in, because it's obvious, or not obvious, you think that the money flow is just rushing out of Chicago wheat, and we backed off 5, 7, 8, 10 cents in KC versus Chicago, I'd be very interested in getting back into that spread again. Or trading that way, just because that would be a short-term money flow issue, if you follow. And so that is something I'm keeping an eye on, and I'll be writing about. Let's see. And then in terms of the outrights, yeah, I would just keep an eye on it. We're gonna have that crop tour out, you know, for the hard red wheat. People I talk to out there say there's more snow than that has been reported. You know, they don't think the wheat's going to, you know, the wheat has basically been toppled and it's underneath the snow, and they don't think it's going to bounce back and be able to stand on its own again, which means they're going to lose all that wheat or most of it. I know there's a lot of wheat out there. I know wheat prices are cheap in the United States and on the export market, we can't even sell that, but, if it could cause the shorts to get out of it, I think that would be a big deal. So we'll continue to watch wheat versus corn, and I'll continue to watch Kansas City versus Chicago wheat. In terms of the other grain contracts, we are having planting delays. In theory, that should be positive for corn. But we were down today. Corn in December after, we got to 390. Here's the thing, we got to 395 in December corn. And I know farmers, there were three levels that we were hearing a lot about farmers selling. If it got to 395, if it got, just above four, and then if it got to, 405. And so 395, 4, and 405 were every farmer I talked to, at least one of them had that as a big cash target where if it hit there, they'd start selling. And what happened with these futures today? We got to 395 and a quarter, and it started back off. Well, what happens if it gets up to 395? They get alert. Maybe they sell the futures. Maybe they're selling the cash. If they have a basis contract, then they're maybe just be doing it off of, when the futures hit something, they'll just make that cash sale because the basis is already locked in for them. A lot of ways to do it, but I found that very interesting that when we did hit 395, that's where kind of that rally stalled out. I'm thinking corn definitely has more to it. We backed off today, but I would, and that is a big resistance level. If you look at a chart of December corn, we failed a couple of times here now at in that 395, 396. But if planting keeps on getting delayed, the weather keeps on going this way, wheat is getting dragged higher. I can see corn making December corn making a run to four. I know it's only 10 cents higher. I mean, 10 cents in corn is not a huge deal, but in the grand scheme of things, but I think it can go. I mean, I think right now, with just the way the weather is, you're looking at a range of these corn between 378 and 402, and that's where we're going to be for a while. Soybeans have been definitely, soybeans yesterday were the follower. Wheat was the one when that was up big. I mean, wheat at one point was almost limit up in Kansas City, hard red wheat yesterday because of all the snow damage over the weekend. And then the Chicago contract was up like 22, 23, 24 cents. So beans and corn followed. Today, beans held up well. They were at November at 365, July at, I mean, at 965, and July at 970. We really need to see a run towards 10, though, for July to kind of make some noise. Otherwise, we're just really consolidating. It'd be interesting to see a close above 970 in July beans, maybe 972, to kind of spark some more technical buying interest. So that's where we are on the grain markets. Again, with cattle, I just want to reiterate, if you're trading cattle, try to trade small, or if you have too big of a position, spread it out. And if you have too many spreads on, and you're too big into that, get long. You may want to, if you're too heavy on the bear spread and in fats, maybe look to buy a little bit in feeders, if you want to kind of use it as a kind of as a hedge against the short term what's going on in the cattle market. So if you're a producer, I think the producers I work with in cattle, if anyone was short calls and long puts or short the futures, we definitely used some of the spread markets to kind of to lessen that as we go up. I mean, when you see open interest and you're making, big open interest and making new highs, that is usually the sign of a bull market, which we're definitely in. Now, what's interesting is we have a lot of cattle on feed coming into the market. So we'll see, we will see product come to the market, but I don't know, for May, we could keep on going higher here. So I still like the deferred bear spreads. I don't know if I like being short June anymore against something like that. And if we do, maybe we kind of spread that off a little bit, or instead of being short June versus October, maybe we roll the June into August or something like that. But that'd be my only real concern about the cattle market. Otherwise, if you're long, or probably, it's kind of like press your luck. You can hold it and hold it and hold it, and then when it starts to crack, it can fall through in a big way. But I don't know, we'll see what happens here. That's what kind of makes these markets so interesting sometimes, when you actually get a market like this. So cattle, wheat, definitely things to watch right now. They're definitely moving. If you like day trading or swing trading, those are some day trading and swing trading markets right now. There is a lot of action. And then if you're more of a position trader or a hedger, there are some opportunities in there too. So my contact information is in the show notes. If you do trade my ideas, and you're not a client, you're always welcome to, kind of contact me if you ever have any questions. I Now, I do get emails and calls every once in a while for people who receive the newsletter that don't have an account here, which is always an interesting conversation. Because I would just like to say one, you know, if there was one thing I could, I'd like everyone to keep in mind is, you know, these are leverage markets, and whether you're trading your own ideas, my ideas, you're a hedger and you actually have the cash product behind you. You know, there's always leverage involved, and that's why I always say trade small, and then add on as you go, or just start to establish a position. You never want to go heavy into one thing, because the times when it works, it's fantastic, but it only takes one or two times to really work against you. And I think, you know, whenever the markets get really hyperbolic like today, that can happen. So you usually don't see that. Once in a blue moon, you do. So if you ever need help with something like that, that is definitely a reason to use Daniel's Trading and get in contact with us. So again, my information is in the show notes. I hope, or you can visit me on the web. I hope everyone had a good day here, and I'll be talking to you Thursday.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniel's Trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniel's Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniel's Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniel's Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.